The Brendan Tierney Show podcast is powered by Excedrin Back and Body. If you've got back pain in the morning, we can help you get back to playing in the afternoon. Excedrin Back and Body. For relief so fast, so strong, you'll quickly forget you had a pain. Excedrin. What ache? Available at ShopRite. Always fresh. Always for less. Use as directed.
All right, listen, I've been looking forward to having my next guest on, and we were able to secure him yesterday. And as you know, the story, pled guilty, served 15-month sentence on a federal wire fraud charge released last month, a 13-year career in the NBA as a ref. And right now it's been cut short for all the wrong reasons. His name is Tim Donaghy. He's got a book out entitled Personal Foul, and he's with me right now. Tim, how are you today?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. I could start in a million different directions, but the thing that really struck me as amazing, it seems like, Tim, I have probably about 20 or 30 friends like you. Went to a good school, Villanova, played baseball, you were very good, good family, great job. How, before I even get into how you did what you did, why did you do what you did?
You know, unfortunately, I made some terrible choices to do what I did, but I think when you talk about being involved in gambling and the excitement that it brings with that and suffering from an addiction, you know, we do things that we rationally know are wrong, and it's not till after the fact, you know, in my case where I was caught and prosecuted that I sat back and tried to realize how and why I did what I did. Mm-hmm. I just think, you know, I made some terrible choices and didn't really fully understand the consequences.
Well, see, that's what's amazing to me, because we've all been there in a casino, lost more than we wanted to legally, on a golf course, maybe, you know, lose a little money on a Nassau. But to do this, I mean, the job that you had is, you made good money, a couple of hundred thousand, I'm sure, over 200, I would imagine. You traveled well, you lived well. I mean, to actually make that decision to do this, and it's such a shady act. I mean, when the light first flicked and that trigger hit, where were you, the conversation, the first time you committed to this? How did it actually happen?
It happened that a friend of mine actually had the Philadelphia Daily News and was looking at the lines in the newspaper and just said, you know, do you know who's going to win these games? Can you predict the outcome of these games? And this was a guy that I had done a lot of gambling with in the past. And, you know, unfortunately, I crossed the line, regrettably so, that I wish I hadn't, but I did.
Tim, here's something that I can't put my hands around. I read the transcripts. I know you've done some other spots, and you've claimed, and you've, you know, you haven't wavered from this, that all the betting that you did never influenced any games that you were involved in. Now, Tim, listen. I mean, all you have to do, and you know this, Shaquille O'Neal in his prime, two fouls, bench, and you're set up to win any bet that you want. LeBron, foul, bench. How did you not possibly once have your bet affect the way you called the game?
You know, obviously, you know, that could have taken place, but it didn't. It was a situation where I used relationships, positive and negative, that were existed in the NBA culture to place these bets and winning bets. And, you know, the fact is that the FBI did a thorough investigation into the fact that, you know, I did not make calls in games to influence these bets. And not only did they do a thorough investigation, the NBA did an investigation also. And they also concluded that, you know, I didn't make calls in games to influence bets. You know, when you talk about doing something like this that's wrong, you know, obviously if you're out there doing that, red flags are going to go up quicker than you could imagine, and you might be detected. So that was something that I stayed away from.
Tim, I'm not going to go so far as to question the actual authenticity of the search and whether or not it was legitimate. I think certainly from the FBI's point of view, I would imagine that it would be. But if I'm the NBA and I launch my own thorough investigation as a business, as a corporation with billions at stake globally, why would I want to find that you actually, that what you bet on affected the outcome? Because that makes me look bad. I would almost want to say, no, that didn't happen, and quietly move on. I mean, how legitimate was their investigation?
You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't think it was legitimate at all, and I'm just fortunate that the FBI did a thorough investigation and concluded that I did not influence games with calls. But, you know, again, the investigation by the FBI, by the NBA, was really not an independent investigation. It was an investigation, you know, that they paid somebody to, you know, formulate.
So basically, they're cutting a check, and are you insinuating that they pretty much said, hey, go out there, present the facade that we're investigating, but don't come back with anything? The NBA.
I'm not insinuating anything, but you did, and I would have to agree with you.
No, that's fair enough. I surmised that, man. So to me, that's common sense. And a lot of the things that you've spoken about and that have been written, to me, you really do have to apply common sense. And the one thing that really jumps out, and Tim, of all the things that you did, I'm going to be honest with you. This is the one that might be most offensive. When you drag other people into it, Dick Bavetta, other referees, the biases, the relationships, the knowledge which the refs may have had to certainly, you know, affect the outcome. I know that you have a book to push, and that'll help you. It's called Personal Foul. But why would you bring a guy like Dick Bavetta, who's almost 80, why would you do that to Dick Bavetta?
You know, unfortunately, I was certainly conflicted when I wrote the book about naming names. But when you talk about telling the stories and putting the story out there, you certainly want to put it out there to where there's no misunderstanding about what you did and how you did it. And unfortunately, to do that in an honest way, I had to name names. And it's not something that I really felt great about doing, but I think it was something that needed to be done.
Let me ask you this. All right, I understand that. Now, Dick and a few other names in there, was it because a little bit maybe you had an icy relationship with Dick? Were there names that you withheld because you had good relationships and you protected some people?
No, I don't think I protected anybody. I think I just tried to give an honest account of what I did. And I will tell you, Dick Bavetta is a great person and a great guy, and I enjoyed my time with him. But again, in order to tell my story in an honest way with what I did and how I did it, you know, I felt that I had to put names in the book.
It's Tim Donaghy, former NBA ref, 13 years, right here on the Brandon Tierney Show. We know his story by now. We're trying to probe a little deeper. Tim, help us out with this, okay? Now, I know the first 3 years that you placed the bets through your friends, and then the fourth year the mob intervened, which is a totally different story and a scary one. I'm curious, because there's anybody that's gambled, there's different ways to gamble. You can do a straight bet, you can do teases. Did Tim Donaghy ever, during, say, halftime, maybe not place a bet on the game to start before the opening tip, but based on the circumstances or maybe some other stuff, maybe make a call at halftime and bet on the second half line? Were you that deep into it?
No, I wasn't that deep into it, but I did share situations with the people that I gambled with. For example, if there was a large point spread that, you know, became the situation in the half, if somebody was winning by, say, 25 points and certain referees were on that game, that, you know, they understood that game would become a little closer come the third and fourth quarter based on some tendencies.
And that's the thing that you said about Dick Bavetta, which leads me to this, and as I paraphrase, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Tim, but you said about Dick is that, you know, he's known as a guy who wants to have tight games, and I believe the word you used, you didn't want to embarrass anybody, keep the integrity, blah, blah, blah. I mean, if that's the case, and if that's true, and Dick Bavetta actually called the game to keep the score tight, and this guy did this and that guy, why should the average fan right now listening to this, getting ready to go to the Garden a couple of nights to watch the Knicks, why should any, or the Izod to watch the Nets, why should anybody believe right now, Tim, that this product is legit?
Well, first of all, I mean, I'm not the only one that's saying that has taken place. I think that was documented in the Petrovich report that not only he did that, but other referees had done that, you know, changed their style of refereeing based on the spread in the games. And, you know, I think it's a situation where the NBA needs to really step up. I think they've begun to clean up a little bit of the problems, and I think there's just some other issues that need to be taken care of so that the fans are confident that this is a true athletic competition and not just entertainment with an eye on the bottom line.
Let's face it, like Canseco, Tim, and listen, I'm not trying to be a jerk, but the reason why people want to hear from you, not because they love you, but because you're a compelling figure and you got some interesting stuff that is illegal but interesting, I would hope that you'll be honest and for my show, you know, we're the home of the Knicks, give us a little story that involved the Knicks. I mean, an injury, an anecdote, something that you were intimately involved with the Knicks that affected the game or bet. Tell us something about the Knicks.
I write in detail a story in the book about the Miami-New York game where, New York was given 39 free throws, and I think Miami only shot 8.
Mm-hmm.
It was no secret that, some of the referees had positive and negative relationships with not only the coach of Miami, but the coach of New York. And they were put at an advantage that night. I placed a bet on that game, and I won. And
How much? How much money, Tim?
I don't know exactly, but the bets varied from $2,000 to $3,000.
Mm-hmm.
And, after the game, a member of the New York Knicks organization knocked on the door and asked for one of the referees' home address so that he could send him jerseys and sneakers that he had asked for prior to the game.
Really? Who was that individual with the Knicks?
It's in the book.
It is in the book.
Yes, it is.
So it's not a player. It's somebody from the organization upstairs.
Somebody from the organization stopped down, took his name and address so that Isaiah Thomas could send him autographed sneakers and jerseys.
Wow. Well, that's Tim Donaghy, 13-year ref, right here on the Brandon Tierney Show. That's pretty disgusting. I don't really know how to react to that, except it goes back to the point that I'm going to keep bringing up, that I get emails on, that I get calls on. I know that you said, not very convincingly, but you think that the NBA is trying to make somewhat of a concerted effort to fix this, to clean this up. At what point did you actually start to get nervous, and did you ever surmise that, forget about the FBI, but that coaches were just looking at you like, what is this guy up to? This guy's not legit.
That never happened because, again, I wasn't making calls in games to influence these bets or point spreads, because if I was, red flags would have been thrown up all over the place, and, my goal was not to be detected. And
But here's the thing, Tim. I don't mean to interrupt, but it's still very subjective. So when you say that you didn't make a call that influenced the game, what you may deem a foul, Vic Pavetta might not, and you still might influence the game.
And that's a very valid point, and I think that's one of the major problems that the NBA has right now, is that the subjectivity is so wide that one referee may make a call down one end, and another referee may make a call down another end, and they may say that that's right down one end and it's wrong down the other end. So I think you have a very valid point, but I can only revert back again to the investigation from the FBI,
mm-hmm.
that stated that they went over everything, and they concluded that at no time did I make calls to influence a bet.
Tim, the term rogue referee is always going to be attached to your name, and you know that. And, there's... Forget about the Dick Pavettas and the Javis, who the relationships that you talk about. Anybody else, any other refs actually taking money, taking bets, distributing info, were you truly by yourself on this, or did you have some company?
To my knowledge, I was truly by myself. I know there's been reports out there that 13 other referees were involved, and that's being investigated now. But as far as me, I acted alone, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that anybody else was involved wittingly, because they were not.
It almost strikes me as the reason you got caught here, Tim, is because you got greedy. And I know that happens to gamblers. If again, I'm not trying to be a wise guy, but if you were a little bit smarter about this, you may be still reffing right now.
I got caught because I did something wrong. I don't think that there's any other way to paint it. I don't know that I want to say I got greedy, because I kept the bet small. And
based on your winning percentage is what I meant. 70-80%. I mean, you're talking about raising a red flag.
Yeah,
nobody wins 80% of the time when they gamble.
No, and that led to a situation where I didn't want to be in. And obviously, when that arose, people were betting hundreds of thousands of dollars on these games, and that's how it was detected.
Tim, tell me the one thing in this book, when people buy it, personal foul, Tim Donaghy, that is going to alter their views further of the NBA, and possibly in the eyes of Commissioner Stern and everybody else upstairs, is going to rock the foundation of this league, and they might not be able to recover from something that you wrote that you didn't already tell me?
I think they're going to be able to recover from anything. David Stern's a very smart man. He's recovered before from problems that have existed in the NBA. And I think that they're going to be bigger and stronger and more powerful than ever once they clean up some of these loose ends that they still have hanging out there in regard to the way they train officials and some of the relationships that exist.
Tim, one of the final things I want to throw at you, you're removed from... you're not too far, or you weren't too far removed from the inner circle of, I mean, the NBA life is awesome. I mean, for players, it's jets, and it's women, and it's money, and it's every velvet rope lifted up. And listen, I know that you guys live a pretty nice lifestyle, and the temptation to do things is great. I understand that. I'm not condoning it, but I guess on some level I could almost kind of see why somebody could get sucked into this, unfortunately. But I wonder, has a player, to your knowledge, ever been involved with this, either through you, with you, or just something that you heard?
You know, not through me or with me, but I will tell you this, just being around the NBA for 13 years, the players make an enormous amount of money. They spend an enormous amount of money, and they gamble an enormous amount of money. So it certainly wouldn't shock me or surprise me if a player was found to have gambled on NBA games that he was associated with.
Do you think David Stern's ever done an investigation that's been kind of quiet to that point on any player?
You know, I'm not sure. There was always rumblings about Michael Jordan, you know, back when he was with Chicago when he retired. You know, whether they're true or not, I don't think, you know, has ever been really made public.
Well, let's face it. If you don't know the answer to that, nobody does. You were a ref at that time, and I've heard that as well. Is that true? Was Jordan banished?
That's what I've heard. But,
do you believe it?
Personally, yes, I do believe it.
Who have you heard it from? Like NBA league officials?
You know, group supervisors, other referees. I mean, no one has confirmed that it was happened, but we all thought that it happened.
Interesting. All right. Who do you like in the Nets game tonight, Tim?
You know what? Unfortunately, I'm not going down that road anymore.
I'm just kidding. Listen, you did the time. Road to recovery, and you had a really good life, and I genuinely feel bad that it's that you flushed it away. I mean, you're a human. I wish you well, man. In all sincerity, good luck.
I appreciate it. I really do appreciate it.
All right, Tim. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you.
All right, take care.
You bet. That's Tim Donaghy, former referee in the NBA. Listen, Winthorpe, here's what I want to do. We'll push him back 2 days. We'll do that in the second hour. I want to talk to the fan. I want to react to that. First of all, many things, and also I want to hear from you. Think about what he just said about Jordan. Think about what he just said about Jordan. Now, there's been strong intimations about that, and I've heard that a lot, but as a broadcaster, it's reckless to really go too far with that, even though I've heard it for a long time, all right? And a lot of people in my business have heard the same thing. If that wasn't kind of a lukewarm confirmation, I don't know what was. We have a lot to talk about. 1-800-919-3776.